on. This is not about us, man. It really isn't. We have a house full of people today and just tons of guests everywhere from east to west and or from east to west, whatever. And from this side to that side. Can we just welcome all of our new people? Come on, y'all. Come on, Discovery Church. We're glad you're here. We mean that. We honestly mean that. We are so pumped that you've come here today. Whether you're just traveling through, as some are, and or whether you're looking for a church home, or if you're just somewhere else and you just wanted to go somewhere else today, whatever the reason, you're here with family. I see some family over here. Why you're here? We're just glad you're here. We're just glad you're here. All right. Hey, can we welcome our online church? Hello, everybody out there in online world, outline, online, whatever world out there. Those people. And so, it would be hard to drive during that set of music without lifting your hands, right? I mean, you need a car that drives itself, just to raise your hands and just let it go. Because I'm telling you, man, God is worth it. He is worth it. And when we praise like that, and people, if you're in the room and you're new to worship and you see all this, you know, what is going on with all these people? We're just simply in love with the creator of the world, the creator of the universe, the savior of the world, Jesus, who gave us our very life. And Holy Spirit, guys, come on, church, who lives in us and gives us the power. Some of you are like, I don't know, I'm going to golf clap that ghost guy. I don't know about him. Come on, y'all. He's the power inside of us that gives us the fuel to move forward in everything that we do. And when you hit a bump in the road, it's the Spirit who moves you through that, not around it or under it. We try to circumvent all of that stuff. And part of the problem is we have a pride issue. You're not getting an amen on that. You see, I believe fully, before you come to Christ or before you have any kind of relationship with other people, humility has to be the center of that. The scripture says, humble yourself. Go ahead and put that up there. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Under the mighty hand of God. And he will lift you up at the right time. He will lift you up. And that time's come, the message today. But if we do not take humility as the posture of our lives, we're already defeated. If in your life you're always pointing at that other person who messed your life up, and if they had done this, and if they had done that, and if he'd have done that, and she'd have said that, and they'd have gone this, if that preacher just had said, or if that church would do this, or if, come on, y'all, that's all about us, and it's not about us. We say it all the time. It's about what? It's the empty seat we serve. We serve the people who don't want to be here. We serve the people who would rather be anywhere else except church. That is the goal of my life, and I see it right in front of me. I see a church of people who literally love the lost. See, people say, well, humility is just not my strong suit. Well, it's not anybody's strong suit. Adam and Eve started all of that, and we just have to, that's part of who we are. But you cannot excuse yourself, well, if that's part of who I am, then I'll just be arrogant and cocky and prideful. Well, go ahead, but you will fall. You will fall. Ain't you glad you come to church today, right? Come on, y'all are excited about that. You see, last week we talked about if Jesus is the preeminent one, the supreme one in our life, and we're in a series of that. If you're new with us, this is message 2 today in a series we're calling The Supremacy of Christ. We're walking through Colossians, and we learned last week that Jesus, if he's permeating our life, if he's preeminent, if he's number one, then he has to be number one. He is either Lord of all or he is not Lord at all. Did y'all hear that? That was better than y'all reacted. I wished I'd have thought that up. Mark Batterson said that in one of his books. Maybe it was All In. I don't remember which. Read all of his books. They're all good. But he said, if he's not Lord of all, then he can't be Lord at all. If he's not the Lord of your marriage, you need to repent of that. Come on, y'all, and let Jesus be the Lord of your marriage. If he's not the Lord of all of your relationships, if you got friends or people around you who are bringing you away from and down and away from Jesus, you need to bring them to Jesus or jettison them. One, you need to figure that out. Amen. Don't leave the world. Come on, let's don't push. Let's love people into Christ. But you can't have those influences and try to serve the Lord all at the same time. Believe me, I tried it years ago. I tried it, man. Just a little foot over here in the world, a little foot over here in Jesus, and little God on Sunday, and little Jesus on maybe Wednesday nights and Sunday nights, and the rest of it was the devil's. That was my life. And I wasn't a hellion, but I was certainly not sold out to Jesus. I was a Christian in quotes. I don't want to be a Christian in quotes. I don't want to be that. I want him to permeate every aspect of our lives. And if he does not, then there's no way you can take the message today. You won't be able to handle what I'm about to say if he is not the center of your life. If he's the center of your life and you're suffering and you don't know why you're suffering, it could be because he's the center of your life. I'm sorry. It's just the way Jesus, if you're going to follow me, you're not going to have a place to sleep. If you're going to follow me, you're going to be homeless. If you're going to follow me, you're just going to go into a city and expect people to take care of you. And if they don't, you just go to the next city. Jesus would have been a vagrant in our society. Some churches wouldn't even allow him in the building because of the way he looked and acted. And he was so countercultural to everything. And people who came to follow him, if they wanted him to be preeminent, and they did, even though they didn't understand him. And I will say this, if you're here today and you're just like, man, I get it, I hear a little bit, but I don't understand all of this. You're in a great spot if you're willing to move even in your misunderstanding, to move in that which you don't understand. Because I'm going to tell you something, if anybody in this room thinks they've got it all together with Jesus, I need to talk to you afterwards. I need to figure out what your secret is. If you've got every act together, I used to think I did. Have all the answers, and if you needed the questions, you know, just come to my small group and I'll answer your questions because I can do that. I used to feel that way about it. I thought we had the right answers and we wanted to give those things away and all of that. And y'all, listen, the church with the most right answers is not the right church. It's not necessarily the right church. Maybe they are. But we're looking, you guys are looking. If you're looking for a church family where you can come in and sit and kind of cruise along and lay back and enjoy a great worship service and crazy preaching. And then sometimes I get to preach. And then, you know, you want to do, if that's what you're all about, if you want, hey, come in and serve me. I need a church that meets my needs. I need a church that I can settle in and just kind of come along and do church. You're in the wrong place. I'm sorry. We don't want that kind of church. We have 85% of our people on serve teams right now. You know why? Because we help that along to make it happen. And if you're not on one, that's your fault. If you've been here more than 4 weeks and you're not on a team, that you're just, and it's okay, by the way, to kick the tire. Somebody said earlier, they say this all the time, and we kind of like the church. We don't really know, you know, the preaching's kind of, you know, we really are looking. And I say, man, you kick the tires all you want to. We're not a poke, prod, push church. We're just going to love you, which is what we want to do. And in order to do that, y'all, we have to humble ourselves. Because I'm going to tell you something. Some of y'all are hard to love. Yeah, y'all laughing. Somebody looked at their spouse right there. Mm-hmm, yeah. Somebody looked across the room and said, yeah, I know that girl. I know those people. Y'all are people. People all the time ask me, how's that church going over Discovery? How's things going over Discovery? And I said, well, it's got people all in it, so it's messed up. It's just messed up. And the sooner we humble ourselves before God, the better we're going to be able to do what I'm going to ask us to do today. Paul, I'm not asking. Paul's actually saying it in the text. Paul starts his message off this way. Without humility, he couldn't say this. He said, I am glad when I suffer for you in my body, rotting from prison. I'm glad. I mean, was Paul a sadist? Did he just enjoy pain? That's not what he's saying at all. But he's saying that if I'm going to suffer for something, I want it to be for Christ. And he spent much of his life in prison because he believed believed that Jesus was who he said he was. And I'm going to tell you, when you start living that way, you understand, like some of you started new businesses and you know the strain of that and the heart of that. You're setting up a new office, brother, and just, you know, like, man, how are we going to do this and what's going to work out over there and you can't see the future. The reason you do that, other than making money and then, you know, having a life and being able to feed your family and stuff, is because you're going to be able to see the fruit of that one day. And what we don't, our culture doesn't want to wait around long enough, and I'm one of them. We don't want to wait around long enough to see the fruit of that which we could really have. If we went yesterday, Liz and I, and we tried out some ellipticals. Y'all know what this is? It is a torture machine. They sell it at Academy Sports all around. And you get on this thing, and it's got these big paddle deals, and it's got arms that do this and feet that do that. I got on it for about 5 minutes, and it kicked my butt, y'all. I'm sorry. I was like, I told her, I said, if we get one of these things, I'm 5 minutes a day, maybe. But if I don't get on it, it becomes a clothes rack, like some of y'all got one. By the way, if y'all got one cheap for sale, we're kind of looking. I'd rather not pay some of those prices for it. But y'all know what I'm saying. If you get on that and you eat right and you exercise, you do the things you do, that's hard for me. But I know the results of it. I've been there and done that. Honestly, it's happened in my life before, a long time ago. And I want it to happen again, but you're going to have to suffer to get there. And I don't want that. I want the easy fix. I want to take the pill that'll help me stop eating. I want to, you know, find that particular diet where I can eat all of everything I want and still lose weight. That's what we want. Amen. Gee, love these little commercials. If you play video games at all, I'm sorry, guys. I play this little game called Wudoku. I don't know if y'all play it or not. It drives me nuts because it's fun. But every time you win a level, you got to watch a commercial, or I flip out of it or whatever. But every other commercial is about you lose weight. 45 pounds in 30 days, that's the diet I want to be on. We don't want to suffer. We don't want to hurt for anything. Some of your relationships have fallen because you don't want to hurt. And you were in the hurt long enough that you couldn't stand it anymore and you had to get out of that relationship because somebody wouldn't work on it. And it takes those things. Paul is saying, I was so glad when I suffered for you in my body, because Paul knew that the suffering he was doing was not only with Christ, but for Christ. Jesus himself suffered. We're going to talk about all these things. He says, for I am participating in the sufferings of Christ that continue for his body, the church. By the way, there's no fill in the blanks in your notes. You notice that? Some of you note takers are panicking right now. Where's my blanks? Where's my blanks? I don't know what's going on. There's no words in here. It's all blanks. I did that on purpose. I wanted to try a week where you fill in your own blank. And what I'd like for you to do is when you write down something that I said from the word, or maybe a point I made, an amazing joke I told or something like that. No, seriously. Write it down and afterwards just text me. Hey, this is what I heard. This touched my heart. I'm curious about it. So listen, go ahead and take your notes. But that was a good one you just missed. Suffering is with and for Christ. Paul said this. He said, I am participating in the sufferings of Christ that continue for his body, the church. Every teaching Paul taught or ever taught was because of Christ's preeminence in his life. You look at his life. He gave up everything. Everything for Jesus. And so you read his books and you can see that all of this came through suffering. I mean, if anybody ever had an excuse to say, no, I'm not serving that Jesus anymore. I've been in prison, I've been shipwrecked, I've been left for dead, stoned, and not the fun kind of way stoned, I'm just stoned to death almost, left for dead. Paul said, I can tell you some stories about this Jesus I serve, but he just kept going, and he kept writing, and he writes so many things. Man, yesterday in our men's group, people were sharing stuff that just, it's just so amazing to watch him love the Lord. Y'all know that Jesus, we talked about Jesus suffered in his life. He didn't come here, and it was not a cakewalk for him when he was here. His disciples suffered, and when we follow him as supreme Lord, we are going to have to expect it as well. We're going to have to expect it. I listened to a message this week or read the transcript of it, and it's a Pastor J.D. Greer. And I've never heard of him or heard anything he did, but here's what he said. He said, you rejoice in suffering when you love what you gain through suffering more than what you're giving up in suffering. Your love quotient for Jesus has to ramp up if you're going to be willing to suffer for him. And that's why we started this message off with humility. I have to take myself out of the way. If you think for 1 minute what we do up here is all about us and we get to play an instrument and all that stuff, I lose myself on this drum set. I don't even know y'all in the room anymore. I'm just beating the mess out of the devil and serving Jesus. I just love it. I love every second of it. I play in a band in Florence. We do these variety shows. I have one June 22nd, by the way, over there. We're going to do a little patriotic, a little fun music and that kind of stuff. And I love doing that, but I don't love it anywhere near what I get to do here. There's a different reason why. And when you change your reason why for your life, some of you wondering in your life right now, and you don't know why you are where you are, you know you made some decisions and some changes in your life that you shouldn't have made and all that, but you don't know why you keep choosing, and I'm getting ahead of myself, you keep choosing the stuff of this world over the stuff of Christ. I do the same thing, by the way. I don't know why we do it. Paul said, God has given me the responsibility of serving the church by what? Proclaiming the entire message to you. Paul didn't pull any punches. He told the whole message. And by the way, the message he told is very simple. He's going to explain it. If you want to know what the center seed of the cucumber is in this message, this text that I'm about to read is it. That the message, everybody say the message, was kept secret for centuries, generations past, but now has been revealed to God's people. For God wanted them, everybody say them, to know that the riches of the glory of Christ are for the Gentiles too. Now, that sounds confusing to us. And one of the things I worried about this message today is there's more teaching, biblical teaching here than there is a lot of practical points and how-tos and stuff, okay? So y'all just go with me. We get real practical out after this in this series, but you have to get this. If you don't get this, then the practical following of Jesus just becomes a religion. And y'all, I'm done with religion. I've been done with religion for a long, long time. I don't want religion. People say all the time, man, I don't talk religion. Well, me either, brother. I'm with you on that. If people ever say that, I don't talk politics and religion, say, amen, me either. Amen. Well, they start talking, well, you already talking about Jesus. Well, that's not religion. That's a relationship. That's my Lord. That's something more way yonder, different and more deep than religion. Religion's killing people all the time. We just want to be who, and listen, I don't want any of this to sound pious or anything, but Paul just said it, that the message of Christ is for Gentiles too. And if you're not a Jew, you're a Gentile. That means us. And he's writing to a church in a predominantly Greek culture. We said that. We established that last week. And that's why he's telling them, look, you're in as well. Because they had heard it all their life. The Jews say, well, it's just us. It's not you guys. And they would go from city to city telling people that. Well, you can serve Jesus. That's all right. But you got to make sure you do this and this and this and this. And we're going to talk about some of this and this is later on. But the Jews tried to bring the rules on everybody. And Paul said, look, this is for everybody. And then he gives the message. Can you imagine? Don't y'all love a secret? Anybody ever tell you, I got a secret. I need to tell you a secret. And just right now, if you're watching any TV series, y'all know that TV ramps down this time of year because summertime, people are busy, and we get to watch the Olympics this summer. I don't know if you guys are Olympics fans or not, but, you know, it just inundates the television. And if you don't watch, like me, recorded Andy Griffiths and stuff like that, then you have to watch the Olympics. And so they're ramping all these series down. All my shows that I watch, they're ending, and they've got season finales. And you're so excited because in the season finale, you're going to learn why some things have been happening the entire season, right? But what are they always going to leave at the end of that show? They're going to leave the hook in it because they want you to come back next fall when it comes back out again. It's the secret. What's the secret? What's going to happen to so-and-so? You know, are they going to fall in love or not? Is he going to live through this whole thing or is they going to kill him off the show? I mean, what, you know, all these questions you have. And you'll anticipate it till next fall. And you can't wait because you turn your DVR on like I do and just record it so you can get through the commercial so you can find out the secret. Well, for centuries before Jesus came, people were talking about Messiah is coming. Messiah is coming. He's going to save our nation. He's going to deliver our nation. And you guys know he came in the name of Jesus. He was Christ, and they gave him, he gave them all that they needed, but it wasn't anything they wanted. And so they killed him for it. And the whole rest of the New Testament is about it. Paul and these guys trying to get these churches to see that we crucified Christ, but he came out of the grave and he resurrected. That's the message. What's the secret? He says it. The secret is this. Christ lives in you, and this gives you assurance of the sharing in God's glory. Now, one translation just says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the secret. What's the message? It's not how to do church. It's not 25 ways how to evangelize your neighbor. That's not the message. Those are okay, by the way, so, you know, if you want to find those ways. We did a thing one time, top 10 ways of how not to evangelize your neighbor. That was fun. That was really fun. But that's not the message. The message is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And this secret message was revealed to all people that Christ could live in you. Look at your neighbor and say, hey, Jesus can live in you. I wonder if I could get you to say that same thing to people out of here. When are we going to get to the point? I said we, not you. When are we going to get to the point when you can tell somebody else outside of you? Hey, I dare you after church today to send a message to one of your unbelieving friends and say, I've got a secret I need to share with you. Can we meet for lunch? Can we meet for breakfast? Can we just talk? Very few friends are going to say, I don't want to know a secret. And get with them and say, hey, you know, Christ can live in you. Why is that significant? Why is it significant? Because if he lives in us, then we share in the hope of glory with him one day. This whole thing with Jew and Gentile and how they hated each other, it was like they would pick and choose who they're going to talk to about Jesus. And we would never do that, right? We'd never be guilty of looking at somebody and going, I don't think they need to hear me say anything about Jesus right now. Guys, that may be the very place God's sending you in that moment. It could be. I don't know. I'm trying to get us to see that when everybody else was shunning the Samaritans, Jesus shared that he was Messiah with a Samaritan woman for the first time before he did anybody. And even his disciples come back and say, why are you talking to that woman, that Samaritan woman? We're going where? We're going through Samaria. Really? I love in The Chosen, one of the disciples looks at Jesus. This is not in the Bible, but it could have been. And one of them says, I've never even talked to a Samaritan. That's part of the problem. We just get with everybody that looks like and acts like and smells like and works like and talks like and like us. And God is asking us to get out of that and step into faith with him, because y'all, biblical hope is not, well, I hope I get to heaven one day, or I hope I get to be saved one day. Biblical hope is confidence, y'all. And this message that Paul, this Christ lives in you, he's the hope of glory. It's like him saying Christ is in you, and because of that, you're going to bust heaven wide open one day. Live in it. Grow in it. Be excited about it. Stop worrying about it. How many people you ever met that say, well, I hope I get to heaven one day. I just hope I'm good enough to get to heaven one day. And that whole statement, y'all, is so theologically weird to God. Because you can't be good enough to get to heaven. Amen. That's why you need Jesus. And we're saying, I know I'm preaching a little bit to the choir here. I know you guys understand all of this. But listen, the only way we're going to grow kingdom in the world is when we start giving that to other people. In a culture that don't want it. They don't want to hear you talk about Jesus. They don't want to focus on Jesus. And part of the reason is because they don't see him living in us. And part of the reason is because they're so afraid that if he lives in them, they're going to have to stop doing some of the things they're doing. And y'all both are a little bit true. Listen to what Paul says this in Ephesians. And I think the more I read Ephesians and Colossians, it's like Paul wrote this one and said, well, that's got to go in this book too. He wrote this and that's got to go over here. Well, I need to give this to them, you know. And Paul says this in Ephesians chapter 1, and when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit. What a mouthful. He says when you believed, he identified you with him by the power of his Holy Spirit who is in you. Who is in you? I don't know about y'all, but that excites me. Who he promised a long time ago. Y'all remember, but you can read about it in Joel 2. He said the Spirit's going to come, and he's going to come on lots of different people. And people are going to dream dreams and see visions and speak languages and do all these things in my name, because the Spirit of God is in them. Not just on them, but in them. You know, God has been coming closer and closer ever since Adam and Eve left him. He's been saying, where are you? Where are you? He's been looking for us all along. It's like he doesn't know. He knows where we are. But he's searching and seeking. He's been coming closer. Came through the prophets and tried to do all he could. And we killed all the prophets, he said. And then he comes through his son, Jesus. And they kill him and send him away. And Jesus said, it's so good that I get to go away from you guys, because I'm going to put a spirit in you that nobody can take away except you. Except you. The Spirit's God's guarantee, he says, that he will give us the inheritance that he promised and that he purchased us to be his own people. He did this, and here's the why of it, so we could praise and glorify him. That's how we could say yes and amen to all your promises. The reason you feel this urge to pour out of you song and word and love and give, the reason you want to pay for the guy's food in the line behind you, is not because you're so good, but it's because you're compelled by the power of the Spirit that says, maybe he needs a blessing today. Amen. And you pour kindness out of everywhere you go. It's why you look at your spouse and say, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that, or I love you so much, or whatever it is. It's why you take your friends that are all messed up. I was so messed up in my friendship with my teenage friends, y'all. I was so messed up. I was a Christian, but I was not a hypocrite. Let me say it that way. Because I'd tell them, you leave Jesus out of all this, because Jesus scared me. Every night I'd lay my head down and wonder, if I die right now, am I actually going to see Jesus one day? Because I was living in rebellion to him. I was not a hellion, by the way. All of my the people around me, all my Bible class teachers and all that stuff, they loved me. And I'm not saying that braggadocious. I know I had enemies. But I'm just saying that you can hide it so well that the people right in front of you don't know that inside you're gut-wrenched and hurting so bad, and you don't know what you're going to do next. And all you want to do is cry and stay in the bed all day long. It's because you've left the Spirit of God for something that's counterfeit. Yes. It's cotton candy. Yep. I remember the first time Tabitha put cotton candy in her mouth as a little girl. It was hilarious. Put it in her mouth, she went, because it went away just like that. And that's exactly what so many of us are putting in our lives every day, the cotton candy of the world. And we think we got to have money and time and fame and all these things. We think we just win the lottery, everything will be okay. No, it wouldn't. Most lottery winners wind up dead and broke. I saw a guy working in the hotel. I was working in a hotel years ago, and a guy won the lottery. He won the lottery, and he came to our hotel almost every night. He got the same room every night. He was so like free with his money. He would go to the bar and he would sit at the bar and take $5,000 out of a little bag and just count it on the bar so everybody could see what kind of money he had. All he did was rent porn all night long and drink himself nearly to death. He's gone now. And to my knowledge, he never got past all of that. All of that stuff that he had brought him nothing but pain and misery. And God parades people. I was watching the other day. I don't know how I got on this. We're doing an Elvis song, I think, for this next show we're doing. And I got to watching videos of Elvis Presley in concert. And there's actually on YouTube a video, full video concert of Elvis Presley in, I think it's June 19th, 1977, 2 months before he died suddenly in his bathroom on his face. And he was filled with alcohol and drugs. Y'all, he couldn't even talk. I'm not making fun of him. I'm just saying he was so drunk he couldn't even introduce his band. Had everything he wanted. Everything. And I believe all my life that Elvis inside of him loved the Lord. He just got himself so caught up in so much drugs and so much women and so much stupidity in this world that he lost sight of what's real. And I'll say this. This is not an Elvis sermon. But in his concerts, When he would have the Jordanaires sing, "How great thou art," you could see the difference in him. If he was stone cold drunk, he would stop. Because he knew he was in some other place. God's Holy Spirit is waiting on you to stop looking in all those places and come and serve Jesus and suffer if you have to. The person who tells you coming to Jesus will fix all your problems is lying to you like a dog. Coming to Jesus will mess you up. It'll take everything that you think you want in life and flip it upside down and know you not only don't want it, you don't need it. And the things that you would never, ever think about doing. I've watched so many of you guys transform in Christ, and you just went from, I don't know what to do with the Lord, to now you're just serving everywhere and loving the Lord and bringing people to Jesus. And it's just, I could just start a parade across the stage of people that would take us longer than you want to stay to watch what's happening. When Holy Spirit gets in somebody and it transforms them, they'll go to the wall for anybody. You inconvenience yourself for Jesus all the time. I'll say this. I don't know that any of us have ever suffered like Paul had to suffer. I don't know that that's suffering. I know I haven't. I'll say that for me. But we can't discount even the smallest things that we have to give up for him and say that, hey, it's so worth it. Man, I'm so lost in my notes. I don't even know where I am. So, can I just ask you, are we afraid? Can we just be honest just a few minutes and say, I get sometimes just a little bit afraid of what somebody might do. And it's becoming less. The older I get, the less afraid I get. It was so funny. Liz and I went to eat yesterday during this rain monsoon over in Huntsville. And we were going to watch Carly Ann play soccer, and it was raining. So we went and grabbed something to eat. We go in a restaurant, and this gentleman, he had to be, I don't know, 75, 80 years old, real feeble, skinny man. And they were trying to get him to his car. And they were all trying to get him an umbrella and walk with him and all that stuff. And he just, I don't know what he was saying. I have no idea. I don't hear well. And so I had an umbrella in my hand. I said, hey, sir, I was talking to his son, apparently. I said, hey, I said, you want to borrow this umbrella and take him to the car or whatever, you know, bring it back or whatever. And he said, nah, he's going to be stubborn. He's going to walk in the rain. And I said, man, that guy is of age. He's got the right to be stubborn. He's earned the right to be stubborn and walk to the car if he wants to. I just thought that was funny. That's funnier than y'all reacted. But, are we afraid? Have we become so stubborn-minded that we're just going to go headlong in whatever we think we got to do in this world? And we're just not going to do it. We're not going to talk about Jesus to people. Are we afraid of being different? Are we afraid of ridicule? Are we afraid of laughter? You know, are we afraid that somebody's going to put us in a category? Well, they've already put us there. If you believe in Jesus, you're in a category. Some of you in this room right now may be here with somebody who you've already put Christians in a specific category. And I'm sorry that we've given you that vision of us. And there are Christians, by the way, that you have every right to say that. But are we afraid of that? Are we afraid to be outcast? I don't know, man. I don't know where all this line of questioning really, really needs to go. And I'm not asking for us. I don't think Paul or Jesus or anybody's asking us, let's get up this morning. Let's me and you go downtown this day and see if we can suffer a little bit for Jesus. You want to? I don't think God's asking us to get up in the morning and say, well, what am I going to do today to suffer for the Lord? Some religions take that to that degree, and they beat themselves up, and they do all these crazy things to show their suffering for Christ so that they can get more points with Jesus or whatever. We were kidding this morning. I told them I was going to open my sermon with humility, and I was joking and said, this was very much a joke. I said, don't you see how humble I am, Lord? It's almost like we live our Christianity like that. Somebody come to church to impress somebody and say, hey, see, I came to church with you today. Aren't you proud of me? Well, be proud of them, but that's not the point. If that's all you have, Jesus said that is your reward. If what you have is just, oh, man, look how good you are. Look how good you did today. Oh, what a great whatever you. And I'm all into admiration. That's one of my love languages. I enjoy it, but I have to watch it. You see, we're not asking for pain, but we are asking that God put us in a position where we can have joy when suffering comes, when it comes. One of the greatest testimonies that we give in our life is when we're in the middle of a very difficult time and we still say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Y'all, I want to be that way so bad that people look at me and say, you're crazy. I've had that happen to me. People say, you're crazy. What are you doing? And that's the kind of compliment we're looking for, really. So if you're hurting for Jesus, you're in a right spot. You're in a right spot. You see, Christ can live in you, and God wants us to use that wisdom to help everybody. Here's what the last part of this text says. So we tell others about Christ, warning everyone. Everybody say everyone. I want you to see the everyone's in this passage, okay? I think I highlighted them most. Yes, I did, didn't I? Yes. So we tell others about Christ, warning everyone and teaching everyone. That means we don't get a choice between, okay, I'm going to teach this one or I'm going to teach that one. This one right here will listen, but this one over here won't. And y'all, I'm sorry, but sometimes it's easy for me to talk to some people and it's harder for me to talk to others based on lots of different circumstances, but we have to get out of that. Because that's one of the things Paul is fighting in this text, is you don't get to pick and choose. Every human in front of you is Jesus. Every human in front of you has potential to be a son of God. It's already there. They just don't know it yet. We don't say unchurched people mostly around. We say not yet believers. They're not there yet. And that leaves me with the impression that there is potential for them to be. And I get giddy almost when I see somebody and the Lord impresses on my heart, hey, you need to go talk to them. I'm like, really? That one? Is that okay? Go, here we go. He says, everyone. He says, do it with all wisdom God has given us. God will give you the wisdom. I used to be scared to death. What am I going to say to somebody? The word is very clear. And by the way, if you study the Bible more, Holy Spirit has a whole lot more to work with, okay? Because he wrote that. And he's not going to tell you anything that's not in there. But I can't tell you how many times that in just the right moment, just the right moment, I text somebody or call somebody or speak out to somebody and I say, I love you. I miss you. What can I do to help you? And it's at the exact moment that they needed to hear that. It's powerful. And then know what to say. We want to present them. That's the everyone, by the way. He says, we want to present them to God, perfect in their relationship to Christ. So Paul is already saying that if you're not in Christ, you can have that, and I'm going to look at you like you already have one before you ever get one. That's why around here we say you can belong before you believe. Why? Because we see potential in you before you ever see potential in yourself. One of the gifts God has given me is to recognize leadership in people sometimes when they don't see it in themselves. And I'm not bragging on that gift. I'm just glad I have it. It's so much fun to look somebody in the eye and say, you know what? I think you need to be doing this because I believe God wants you here. And then they like, oh, that's not me. Somebody did that to me. Y'all don't know Tony Rogers. You'll never know Tony Rogers. Tony Rogers was the guy that tugged me on the sleeve in church one day, and he said, would you come to my leadership training class? I said, what is that? He said, well, it's where we learn how to preach. And I said, no. I said, that ain't me. I'm going to be a rock and roll star. Don't y'all laugh so hard at that. I mean, the material's there, right? I'm trying to get the hair there. You know, I'm trying to grow my hair out. That's a joke. But that's all I wanted to do. And Tony didn't say another word until about 2 weeks later. And he came up to me again and he said, hey, remember that class I was talking about? Would you come in? And just to shut him up. And here we are. I'm just telling you, man, never discount the fact that you might see somebody and go, hey, I want to help you find Jesus. And they go, well, I'm not really into that. So, well, hey, I understand what you're talking about, but it's too important for me not to tell you. Because you want them to be perfect in their relationship. That's why he said, I work to struggle so hard, depending on Christ's mighty power that works within me. And I'm going to tell you something. If you depend on any other power than what God has given in you, and hey, I did it for a long time. I did it with my own prowess. You know, I'm an IS. And if you look on in the disc profile thing, I'm a witty person. I'm a people-oriented person. Great jokester, and you guys know that. And so, I mean, I enjoy this. By the way, the wittiness part gets me in trouble more than it helps me. And so sometimes, if you're that kind of person, you can feel so confident in yourself that you can fall flat on your face in the midst of something. And then sometimes you can back up and say, you know, God, I don't have this. I don't know what I'm doing. I have no idea what we're doing here. And then God will take that. He'll take that spirit, and he'll move you into places that you never thought you could go. And hey, can I just say this to you? You hadn't messed up enough yet that God don't love you. Amen. In fact, you won't mess up enough that he'll stop loving you. Amen. He'll love you in spite of who you are. That's funny too, I thought. But anyway, he'll love you in spite of it. And I'm going to tell you something. If you don't tell somebody, who will? Who will? Yeah, it might cost you for a little while. It might cost you a relationship. I don't know what it's going to cost you, but it's probably going to cost you something. It's certainly going to cost you some nerves, and you don't ever grow until you get to the edge of your comfort zone, because that's where growth happens. If you stay right where you are, status quo is cool. I'm good right here. Don't bother me. I won't bother you. That's as far as you can go. And God is just waiting on you to be the instrument, to go to that person who every night before they go to sleep, they're saying, Lord, I don't even know who you are. I don't even know why I'm praying, but I'm asking you to send somebody my way that can tell me better how to live my life. And he will. And he will. And we do that by the power of Christ, who is preeminent in our life. So this is a cycle. We share in suffering in order to share the message with other people so that they too can come to Christ and share in the suffering so that they can share it with other people, so that they can share in the suffering with Christ so they can share it with other people. And they can do the same thing. And before long, we're going to all be dead and gone. Welcome to church. We're going to all be gone. And the next group will be either here or somewhere else, and they'll be doing the same thing. It's not going to ever stop. One of the most powerful evidence for God and for Jesus dying on the cross is we're still here. people are still all over the world every day dying, literally dying for who Jesus is in their life. One more verse, and I want to pray with you. Prayer team, if you'd go ahead and take your places, I would appreciate that. We're going to end a little differently today, but sort of the same as well. So if you have right now an opportunity and you want to pray with someone, right now the tug on your heart is, I want to come to Jesus even if it costs me everything. The tug on your heart is, I want to come to Jesus even if I have to suffer. I want to come to Jesus no matter what it costs. I want to come to Jesus and I'm willing to give up everything I have, own, am, or ever will be in order to come to Jesus. That's the call. That's a hard call, isn't it? But that's the call to let him be preeminent in your life. And Scripture says this, at the end of time, and God will provide rest for you who are being persecuted and also for us when the Lord Jesus appears from heaven. How many of y'all ready to go? Me and Montana. Are you ready, girl? Montana says, I'm ready. Let's go. That's always a question. It's funny to watch people's reaction when you say, who wants to go to heaven today? And the old joke was, we got a bus out front waiting to go. You know, we'll... Let me ask you to... Come on, Connor. I got to have better than that from you, brother. No. But let me ask you more seriously. What if the trumpet had sounded 10 minutes ago? And it was done. It was done. I don't tell you that to scare you unless you're outside of Jesus and you need to be scared. You need to be shaking in your boots right now. And you need to do anything you have to do. And the first step is to simply believe in Christ. He said in the text, you'll receive Spirit. He said, if you just come and accept me and believe. We teach repentance and confession and baptism and all of those things. They're all steps in this journey. We'll help you with any one of them that you need today, if that's what you need. Just so we're going to be more comfortable about it, I'm going to ask you guys, don't leave, but stand right where you're standing. City, if you guys would stand. This makes it a little more comfortable if someone wants to step out for prayer. And what I'm going to do today is I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes, and we're going to pray a prayer. I'm going to pray a general prayer over you. And what I want to invite you to do, that if you want to do this way, if you want to come for the prayer team, you do that right now. Some of you need to step out right now and go talk to them and pray that you can get your life back where you need to be. You need to do that today. It's called repentance. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. And the cool thing about our church is it doesn't matter how many times you mess up and come back, we're going to be here for you. I love it. Come on. Amen, Discovery. Come on. Amen. And then anybody that don't feel comfortable stepping out, if everybody would bow their heads and close their eyes, if you'll just lift your hand, I want to pray over you in general. Maybe there's a problem in your life. Maybe right now is a moment you're going to believe. You can do that right from your seat. You don't have to come down here to do that. Anybody need prayer this morning in any shape, form, or fashion? If you'll just throw your hand up, there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 hands up all over the place around here. Come on, prayer team, if you don't have somebody with you, will you lift your hands as we pray over this team? Come on, let's do this as a team. God, so many people in this room this morning just raised their hand to have you, Father, come into their lives more strongly, more deeply than and whatever's going on in their life, Father. I just pray right now against it in the name of Jesus. Anything that's coming against them, Lord, that's stopping them from being more faithful, being more of who they need to be in their home, at school, at work, or whatever it is, God, you know their hearts. I'm so grateful that you do. And Father, I just pray right now, generally, over all of these people who raise their hands. And we're lifting our hands, Lord, together in order to believe and trust. You said if we would raise holy hands as we pray. We're doing that, Father, trusting you, reaching to you, because you're the only answer that any of us have. So I pray over them, Father. I pray for freedom to come in. I pray for evil to go away. I pray, enemy, you have no right. You have no place in the lives of all of these people here, God. God, reach in. Enemy, you are out of here. You are out in their life, Lord. We just pray that you will, Father, go before them, protect them, bless them. Help them to sense your presence, Lord. We want to know you're here. We thank you for coming into our heart and living in our lives and being, Father, who you are in our lives. The very strength to get through everything that we get through every day. We honor you and praise you, Lord. in Jesus' name. And everybody who agrees, say amen.